gave us a message for today. So if you want to have your notes, it's kind of like in book form. We're starting off, the first page is the page that has the picture on it. Okay, we're starting with pictures. How many of you guys like books that have pictures in them? Yeah, that's the books I always look for, was the ones that had pictures, because I'm very visually oriented. And so I want you to look. We had this picture in our last week as well. I kind of ended with it because I wanted you to think about it. And then I wanted to kind of come back to it today. So this is kind of that circle or that cycle of prayer. We've been talking about praying. We believe without a doubt Jesus hadn't changed his mind from the way that he felt whenever he was heading to the cross, and his passion in that was that his house would be a house of prayer for all nations. And so, like as we've talked about in the weeks past, I mean, yeah, that includes this place that we're setting in, but even more importantly, it includes our hearts. And that's really what I think he's talking about. Because the temple used to be the place of the presence of God. And now we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so this is the place of the presence of God. He lives in a believer's heart. And so he wants each believer to be a house of prayer for all nations. And that don't mean all nations coming in. That means us praying for all nations. Amen. What was his last command to us before he went up into the clouds? Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. His heart is for the nations, right? And so he hasn't changed. But if you look at that cycle, I believe these are the prayers that God hears. You see, the prayer actually starts up here at the top with our Heavenly Father. It's God's will. That's the prayer He answers. You see, guys, unfortunately, we've kind of turned it over. We've turned it on its head. And I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I have made this mistake in my prayer life. Maybe you have too. Maybe I'm the only one. But I've been reading this book. And God's just really been speaking to me. I liked it first because it's short. I like short books. It takes me forever to read a book. But the name of it is Forgotten Power. And I want to admit something to you. This was given to me quite a while ago, and I forgot about it. It sat on my desk, and it got underneath some other stuff, you know, because I got a pile of books to read. Everybody gives me a book to read, you know. I'm the pastor. Here, you need to read this book. And so I get these books, and I just got gobs and gobs of them. But this guy, his name is David Butts, and you'll hear him on the radio from time to time. Anytime, a lot of times they have these one cry prayer alerts that'll go out, and they talk about one cry. That's who we're connecting with for this Awakening Weekend. He has a ministry called Harvest Prayer Ministry. He's desiring to see a harvest. You remember what Jesus said? Pray the Lord of the harvest that he send out many workers, okay? So he realized it's about prayer. It really is. We think it's about the workers, but it's really about the prayer because Jesus told us to pray. He didn't say, go become one of the workers. He said, pray that God will send out more workers. Of course, we're supposed to be one of the workers, but we're supposed to be one of the prayer warriors as well. That's one of the big parts. But I want you to hear, so as you're kind of paying a little bit of attention to that drawing, I want you to hear what he has to say in this. He says, God, Father, Son, and Spirit, so the whole Trinity, has invested something of great significance in prayer. It is His way of bringing about change on planet Earth and at the same time bringing sons and daughters to maturity. Understanding both His purpose and His ways will not only change your perspective on prayer, but also on the purpose and nature of the church. So the whole church was designed to be a praying institution, a praying body. And He's got a purpose for us. And sometimes we think it's go do, but really I think it has to start with go pray. Okay? We have to pray. This is the reason. I'll tell you, what we wind up doing so many times is we say, okay, this is what God wants me to do, so I'm going to start doing it, and I'm not going to ask Him first, but I'm just going to start doing it because I'm pretty sure this looks like something God would have me do. And then midstream, when it ain't working out, then we pray real hard that God will fix it. And I think we might be starting out at the wrong place sometimes. If we go ahead and start off with, God, reveal your will, show us. We're praying, we're asking. Then God gives us His will through the Holy Spirit. Okay? So who's with us all the time? It's the Holy Spirit living in our heart. And so the Father gives His direction to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings it right to us. And if you look on the on the chart there, then the Christians receiving God's will through the Holy Spirit, where do we go with it? We go to Jesus. We pray through Jesus. Where's Jesus? He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, and He takes it right back to the Father. So then we would say, well, why doesn't God just do it on His own? Why does He even involve us? I think this is the key, because He's trying not only to do His will in this world, but He's trying to mature us in the process. We are the children in this thing. You remember John 1:12? Can anybody recite that verse to me? To those who received Him, Jesus. Yes. John 1:12. Believed in His name, He gave them the right to become children of God. You see, He wants His children. We are children, guys. Sometimes we get to thinking we're too big for our britches. Okay? We think, okay, I got this. I belong to you, and I know what you want, so I'll just start doing it, and I'll forget to go back and ask my daddy. You see, really, we're children in like, whenever your children are doing your will in your household, what do you want them to do? You want them to check in with you, because you got a way you want it done. And so you want those children to keep short accounts with you so that they're doing it right. Amen? Are you a parent out there? Can you identify with me, you know? There's nothing worse than when your child just goes, all right, I already know what my mom and dad want. So they just go and they maybe don't do it right. And then they come back in and they can't understand why you're not all thrilled to death about it, okay? I think God wants His will done His way, you see? And not in a demanding way, but in a fatherly way, because He wants to mature us in the process. Amen? There's a way He wants it done, because it's going to be the best for us and everybody else. But I want you to listen to a little bit more of this. Okay? It is important at the outset to stress that this plan of God, and that this plan is of God and is an outworking of His sovereignty. He is the omnipotent God. It means He has all power. And could have devised any plan to bring about His purposes on this planet. In His sovereignty and wisdom, He chose prayer as His strategy. He chose to give mankind a role to play in accomplishing His purposes as a means of helping us grow to maturity. He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow up. And that's why we got to be involved in this circle of prayer. God knows what He wants to do. He wants to give it to us so that we'll pray it back to Him, and then we'll be in a better place to receive His direction and then go do. But we get so rowdy and we get so impatient, we go and do before we ever ask, and then what do we have? You know, I could give you a lot of instances where the Bible shows us this, one of which was whenever they had defeated at Jericho coming into the Promised Land, and so they didn't even bother checking in with God before they went to Ai. They just sent a few thousand people up there, and 32 of them or something, I don't remember the exact number, died, the Israelites, because they had sin in their camp, and if they just would have asked God first, He would have told them. But instead, they tried to do it on their own. Well, I already knew what God wanted. You ever guilty of that? I know what God wants, so I'll just do it, and then I don't ask, and then I find out. I kind of make a mess of things whenever I do that. Okay? Listen to this. Instead, as we almost always do, we get it wrong. We made prayer about us instead of about God. We look to prayer to get us what we want. Prayer becomes our strategy for getting things from God. If we pray long enough, believe enough, gather enough others to join us, just maybe we'll get what we want. We've turned prayer on its head and wonder why it doesn't work very well for us. Do I get an amen? That really speaks to me, because I can tell you, I was just sharing with our Sunday school class this morning. I'm not going to get political on you, but like the last couple presidencies, I really prayed hard that they wouldn't end up that way, and it really bothered me whenever it did, because I had a real definite opinion the way I thought things should go. And then whenever I was praying, asking God why, I was really dejected, you know, by the second election of that, and I'm like, oh man, you know, why? And He said, didn't you pray for revival? You see, I had already prayed for revival some years back, and that is His pathway to get us there. Is that He wanted to show us so many years of seeing it this way so that we could really see what we need and what we want, and that we really need God. We can't depend on people. People aren't our hope. He He wants us to depend on Him. And that's what He was teaching His child, me, through that experience. So you see, I'd turned prayer on its head. I had maintained that prayer was the way to get what I thought was right, to get what I wanted out of the deal, so to speak. But in reality, prayer is all about God. So why do we pray? God already knows what He wants. Why do we pray? Let's look. There's about six reasons I picked, and we're going to march through them really fast, so I want you to kind of stay with me here. First of all, Jesus told us to. Do I get an amen? Amen. God wants to spend time with us, number two. Do I get an amen? Amen? Number three, God wants to complete His work on earth through us. We're only one link in that chain, amen? Number four, God wants to mature us by involving us. Do you ever let your kid drive the lawnmower? Yeah? Like sitting on your lap? I know you're not supposed to do that. I'll probably get in trouble for saying that. You don't have to have the mower deck on, okay? You can just drive around, and you can let your kid drive. Where do you know? Why do you do that? Do you do it because you can't drive? No, you do it to involve them so that they can mature and learn something. God also, number five, wants to be acknowledged as He provides our needs. Amen? He wants you to see it's Him. Okay? And number six, and to me, I got a real heart for the lost. This one really matters, okay? God wants the lost world to see and believe. Amen? That's really, at the end of the day, it's about bringing others into the kingdom as well. So let's unpack these real quick. Just some quick verses. You can kind of follow along on your sheet. Jesus said to. I think really, that ought to probably be enough for us. But guys, it's a good starting point, but I don't know about the rest of you guys. I'm not real good at doing things just because I'm told to. A lot of times I really have a good intention, but it's just hard to follow through. But let's just start there. It is a good reason. Jesus said to. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Do you want to be a son and a daughter of your Father in heaven? Then Jesus just told us to pray. Don't just pray for the people you like either. Pray for those who have hurt you. Pray for those who may be hurting you now. Pray, because we want to be sons of our Father in heaven. And He says, for He makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain to the just and the unjust. The next one, this comes further along in the Scripture, but I can tell you it's not just the words that are in red that came from God. It all comes from God. The whole Bible is God's Word. Amen? So let's look at the next slide there, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 22. Rejoice always. Do I get an amen? It's a command. We're supposed to be rejoicing, people. Pray without ceasing. That means don't stop. Keep praying. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. But we see right in the middle of that, pray and don't stop praying. It's a command. Then, we're going to look at number two. God wants to spend time with us. I think this may be even more important than the fact that He commanded us to do it. Because you see, this is a real motivator for me. If He commands me, yeah, I'll try to do it. You know, I'll try to do it out of obedience. I'll try to do it to be a faithful guy because I like to be faithful. But how about this one? He's saying, come away with me, my son. Come away with me, my daughter. I want to spend time with you. Think about it, that the God of the universe loves us so much that He wants you to spend time with Him. In fact, guys, let me tell you something. It's the very essence of eternal life. Eternal life, this is eternal life, Jesus said in John 17:3. That they may know you. Jesus is speaking about the Father. He's praying to the Father right now. Remember, Jesus prayed. Not just as an example, but because he needed to as well. He was in a man's body. He was separated by proximity. And so he prayed to His Father. He says that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You see, knowing God is the essence of salvation. This is the same word, know, that is used for a husband knowing his wife. Okay? That closest of all relationships on earth. This is the same word. It's the same Greek word that's being used there. Kenosko is the way I pronounce it. I don't know how others might. I probably got it wrong, but it's a basic idea of knowing intimately. How in the world can we know Jesus intimately if we don't spend time praying? If we don't spend time with Him? He wants us to know Him. He wants to spend time with us. Number three, God wants to complete His work on earth through us. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but that, to me, that seems pretty cool. Does it seem pretty cool to you? Like, He could just zap and do it. He could send angels and do it. But instead, He says, I want to use my people. I'm going to do it through them. You know? I mean, isn't that cool? Like in a family, isn't it cool? Like whenever your parents kind of trusted you, entrusted something to you, and they said, here, you know, you're growing up. I want you to do this. Didn't that feel cool? Some of you said, well, no, not so much. I remember it always felt cool at first. And then, you know, after you had to do it a whole bunch, then you're like, well, you know, maybe not so cool. But anyway, we get the idea. That's kind of our simple side speaking. God wants to complete His work on earth through us. In fact, Matthew 9, 37 through 38, then said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. You know, that always has astounded me, because it seemed to me like, if it would have been me, you know, I'm kind of a go-do guy. I can just imagine being Jesus and seeing my disciples over here. If y'all remember the whole picture, they were in Samaria. Jesus had been talking to the woman at the well. They were off getting food. They came back, and they keep trying to get Him to eat, and He's like, I got food you guys don't know about. You see, I've been talking to this lady over here, and she gets it. And I mean, the lady got it so much so that she went out and gathered everybody she could find in Samaria, of all places, this place that was despised. And she, at this moment, He's standing there with His disciples, and He's looking out, and she's bringing them back. Okay? And He's like, look, guys, y'all are worried about food, and I'm telling you, fields are white to the harvest. Okay? And it's real plentiful, but there's not very many people. So like, here would have been my solution. What's wrong with you guys? Get out there. But that ain't what He said. He's like, guys, pray. That's pretty huge. Pray even before we go. We need to be praying, right? And He said it more than once in more than one situation, same basic thought, is that the most powerful thing we can do is pray. So he's wanting to complete the work through us, so we need to pray, guys. If we'll get that part, you know, the first year I was really distraught, and I'm like, God, we don't seem to be going anywhere. I don't know, how can we reach this community, you know, and I realize it's one person at a time, but I'm really impatient. You know, I really want to see thousands of people at a time, but he said, you get the house of prayer part right, and the rest of it will happen. And I think that's where we're at. So we get this part right, I think the rest will happen. And that's what He's telling them, isn't it? You get the prayer part right, the rest will happen. Then it won't be just you out there trying to save everybody. I'll send a whole army out there to get it done. Okay? So that's where we need to be. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, I exhort first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions. How many different ways can he put prayer? Supplications, prayers, intercessions. Those are all prayer, right? And giving of thanks be made for who? For all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is God. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. So that's His work, is to save all people. And He's telling us to make sure, above all, that we pray for it. Right there it is. And be thankful for it. 1 Timothy 2:8, a little further down, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Guys, I'm going to tell you, everywhere you look, it's more about praying, right? It's more about, that's the main work, that's the main thing. Number four, God wants to mature us by involving us. I think this is really important, guys. If we want to grow, if we want to become more mature, we must be a people of prayer. We must. If you're not a person of prayer, you know, you might be sitting here right now thinking, well, you know, prayer's for some people, but just not really for me, then I really feel like I have to be honest with you. Unfortunately, you're going to have a hard time growing like that. Because the prayer, if you look at that design on the front again, this little picture, you see, if you're part of this circle, that's how we grow, is when we stay in the circle. Because you're experiencing God right there. If you get out of that circle, then you're not experiencing God in the same way and you're not going to grow. And I am guilty of that. In times of least growth in my life were probably times of least prayer. And so I thought, well, because I'm growing, I pray more, but I think it's the opposite. Because I'm praying, I'm growing more. You get what I'm saying? So get back to the prayer, and I believe you'll grow because you'll have a deeper desire for the Word. Prayer is incorporated with the Word. You pray back the Word to God. You're praying the will of God. You see how it all works? And as we're doing that, we're growing. We're getting closer to God. We're experiencing God in an intimate way. We're spending time with Him. So let's see. He wants to mature us by involving us, and that prayer is the biggest part of it. Ephesians 4, chapter 14 through 15, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but instead, I'll add the instead, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. We need to grow up and be more like Him. We need to grow up into Him. And the way we do that is at least in part by prayer. We look at Romans chapter 8, verses 27 through 29. Now He who searches the hearts knows the mind of knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There it is, that prayer, being in the Spirit in prayer. The Spirit is carrying God's will to us, and we're praying it back. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. You see, it's His purpose that's the point. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. We always get stuck on the predestined word. That's the one that anytime we read that scripture, everybody's always, what's that predestined mean? What does that mean? Does it mean God's forcing us and all this stuff? No, guys, move on to the next part of that verse, because I think that's really the key. We're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Do you see? He wants us to be like His Son. You know how we become more like His Son? Is what we do what His Son's doing. What's His Son doing? He's interceding. And as we intercede, then we're becoming more like the Son. You see how that happens? That's spiritual maturity. That's where we need to be growing toward. Does that mean, you know, always in corporate prayer and that's the only prayer that matters? No. Guys, that private prayer matters. Your prayer life matters. And as you're praying at home, then it'll only be natural that we pray when we come together. We have been accused at times of being, you know, the most praying church that some people have ever seen. Because, like, if somebody says, I got a prayer concern, usually we just stop right then. You know why I stop right then? I'll just tell you why I do. Because I'm really forgetful. And I don't want to lie to you. And I don't want to say, okay, brother, I'll pray for you or sister. And then, like, I forget about it because I do. So, like, the best thing to do with me, if you say, brother, pray for me, is just make me stop right then. We'll do it. That way we don't forget. That way it's not the Christian brush off, you know. I'll pray for you. No, like, really, let's pray for each other because God really does want us to pray. He wants us to mature in that. I'll tell you what, some of the fastest maturity in my life is whenever I prayed and I saw it happen and I went, wow, that is so awesome. God actually did it. You know, not because I said it, but because it was really His will and He wanted to involve me in that. How awesome is that? Did you ever just pray something nobody else knew? Nobody else could have done it? You prayed it and then God did it? I just heard about one the other day. I heard about a guy who was a counselor who had gotten in such a situation that he had lost his office space. He wasn't making enough to pay for where he was in an office space, and he hadn't told nobody. Nobody knew it except for this landlord and somebody totally unconnected to the whole group called him up one day and said, you know what, you probably wouldn't even want it, you probably don't need it, but I got this office and you can use it for free if you want. 3 months he let him have it or more. And he gave him a chance to get caught back up so that then he could get back into his own office space. God knew it. He prayed it. God provided it. And his faith went through the roof. You see, that's how it works. God already knows, but he's waiting for us to ask. He wants us to ask. Isn't that cool? He wants us to ask. Let's go to the next slide then. God wants to be acknowledged as he provides for our needs. Here's the deal, guys. I'm a dad. Y'all know that. I got a few kids. I love it when they come to me and ask. You know what I'm saying? Not like just asking and being obnoxious about it, but like, have you ever had it like whenever you were kind of standing there and your kid kept trying to push around behind you whenever you were busy because they wanted a drink of water? And then, you know, they got to scramble up onto the countertop and they're knocking everything off of the counter trying to get a glass that you could have easily have just reached up for them and filled it up with water and handed it to them, but they just needed to ask. You see, yeah, they might get their drink of water, but they're going around you to get it. How'd that make you feel? Not very involved. Not very close. God wants to be acknowledged as he provides. He wants us to ask so that whenever he does it, you know it was him and you're going to be closer to him. Therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God already knows. If you look at the Lord's model prayer, he tells us, give us this day our daily bread, right? He just got through telling us. He already knows we need it. But he still has told us to ask. Why is that? Relationship. You know it's him whenever he does it. It's awesome. Then you can be thankful. Then you can be closer to your Father. Then you can be closer to Jesus. Then you can celebrate with the Holy Spirit. You see how then you're getting as close to God as possible. Of course, that's just one part of that Lord's model prayer, but an important part of it. Next slide. James 4, 1 through 3. You'll see this at the bottom of your sheet. I wound up adding this scripture in there a little bit later on. It says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Boy, ain't that what's happening in the world today? Guys, I'm going to tell you something. Somebody broke into our shed down here a while back. Hey, don't you love it when people break into the church? I mean, it cracks me up. I praise God they didn't break into this part. They've done that twice, too. Took what they wanted, left. They broke into that shed down there, and apparently all they were looking for was gas. Because they took the gas can. They didn't take a whole lot of stuff. You got a pretty nice lawnmower down there. If anybody's listening, I guess you might come back to get it. I don't know. But apparently they couldn't get the lawnmower started. It had gas in it. If they really wanted gas, I guess they could have sucked it out. But they took the gas can, and they wound up taking an extra motor and a starter that we had for the lawnmower. As far as I can tell, I don't think they took anything else. Do you know what? We actually have a benevolence account. If that same person would have came to our church and gave us a good reason why they needed gas, we probably would have filled up their tank for them. If they just would have asked, we actually have money available and would have given it to them as a gift in Jesus' name, and then they could have actually experienced the Savior in it and the love of God. We'd have given it to them. You know, when they robbed the church and they really got us big a while back, I actually had an ad put in the paper, and I said, you missed the better thing. Come back on Sunday, and you'll get to hear the gospel and the love of God and forgiveness for you. That's the better thing. You missed the treasure. That was sad. Unfortunately, that boy went back to his old ways. I know who it was. I wound up finding out who did it. And he went to jail for a while, but then whenever he came back out, he got back in his old ways, and he wound up getting shot in the stomach as he was robbing a store. Isn't that sad? I didn't hear if he survived that one or not, but what a sad thing. You know, he missed the treasure. He was trying to get the few dollars. And there's eternal life to be had and pleasures forevermore. He goes on to say here in James chapter 4, verse 3, you ask and do not receive So like we don't have because we don't ask, or maybe we're asking and not receiving because we ask amiss that we might spend it on our own pleasures. You know, God don't just give it to us so that we can waste it. God gives it to us so that we can spend it on His kingdom. It's an important scripture. So guys, He tells us there, we need to ask. We need to ask. Number six, last one. God wants the lost world to see and believe, guys. Ultimately, if you look throughout Acts, you'll see it. Miracle after miracle after miracle in the Gospels. Miracle and people believed. Miracle and people believed. You see, God wants to answer our prayers. In fact, He'll even sometimes give you the opportunity to forecast what you prayed to somebody so that whenever it does come to pass, they'll know it was God and they'll believe. Here we see that happen in Acts chapter 9, verses 40 through 42. But Peter put them all out. He knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." This little girl had died, guys. And you know what? That wasn't the bigger issue. The bigger issue was God allowed her to die and put Peter in her life so that whenever he prayed, he would do a miracle. One like nothing else they'd ever seen, and people would come to believe. And when she saw Peter, sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa. And many, say it with me, believed in the Lord. That's the point. Not only did that, I'm sure that little girl got saved that day too. You know what I'm saying? It's like, whoa, God did this? Wow. But all these other people believed as well. God still does miracles for the same reason. God still heals. Do you know that? God still heals at the prayers of the saints. You know why? So people believe. Yeah, it's for us too. You know, like if I receive the healing, I'm glad it's for me. That's cool. But it's even more so for all those who saw it and will come to know the Lord. He wants people to know the Lord. That's why He still does miracles today. God is a miracle worker, and the prayers unleash the miracles. So do you think God already wanted to raise this girl from the dead? You got it. So God, the Father, sent the message to Peter through the Holy Spirit. Peter prayed it back through Jesus, and it went to the throne, and the girl rose! And people believed. It's the point. Y'all remember a little story about Peter being in prison? I got to tell this one because this is good. He's in prison. They're having a big prayer service for him. They love Peter, right? All the disciples, all the apostles, all those, that early church, love Peter. And they're in there and they're praying their little hearts out for him. And all of a sudden they hear a knock at the door. Oh, never mind that. We're busy in prayer. He keeps knocking. Finally, a little servant girl, Rhoda, goes over and opens the door. She thought she saw a ghost and she slammed it back. Guess who it was? It was Peter! God had answered their prayers. He had freed Peter. In fact, he just put everybody else in a trance and Peter as well. And it was like he just told him, get up and walk out. And he loosed his chains and he got up and walked out. It was though he was in a trance, because if Peter would have been awake, he would have messed it all up. Just like us. So he goes and he's knocking. He's like, guys, come on, they're going to catch me again. You need to open the door. And they're like, here he is, it's Peter. You know, no, it ain't. Can't be Peter because he's in prison. Duh, you're praying. God answered it, right? You guys ever do that? Been praying and God answers it and you're like, well, maybe that ain't for real. No, guys, it's supposed to make us believe all the more. So celebrate it. Share it. Others will believe through it. Amen? That's the point. So I'm asking you, are you believing today? Are you believing? Because you see, you can't even start this whole journey until you get right with Jesus. I can tell you, He's given you enough evidence to believe in Him. But if it just hasn't clicked, ask Him. He's the one that makes it click. He's the one that makes it make sense. Ask Him. He said, if anybody asks me, I'm not going to turn them away. That's a beautiful promise. So maybe you thought, well, maybe there's something to that Jesus guy. He was a good guy. No, he wasn't just a good guy. He's God. He's God in the flesh. And he proved it. Because you know what? They're still looking for his body, and they're not going to find it. The tomb's empty. He rose from the dead. He went back to heaven. He's the way. And you want to know how I know it? I'm not just telling you because I think it. I'm telling you that I know it because I have seen the miracles. Just like he showed them the miracles so they believe in him when he walked on the earth, he has done so many miracles in my life, we'd be here all day for me to try to tell y'all. And he'll do it for every one of us if we just get involved in the circle. Now, he won't just do anything I want. He does what he wants, and he tells me how to pray. Get in the circle. Stay in the circle. If this church is in the circle, we're going to see it. We're going to see the miracles. But you got to get in Jesus before you can get in the circle. Do you want to be in Jesus? If you already are, then praise the Lord. I give you a high five this morning. Raise your hand as a testimony. Amen. I'm in Jesus, and I love Jesus. If you're still wanting to be in Jesus, I'll tell you what, and you're not quite there yet, it just takes that one step of faith. Nothing else. You don't have to become perfect, good enough, and all that stuff, and get your life together. Guys, you come to Jesus just like you are, and he'll help you get the rest of it in the right place. You just got to follow him. We're going to give you this time of invitation. We're going to do a song now. And this isn't just here, you know, it's kind of like a part of the service, and we just want you to feel good during it, guys. This is your opportunity to answer the living God. If God's worked in your heart, he's put something on your heart that you need to bring to the altar today, or you need to pray with me or someone else, right now is your time to do it. You're not guaranteed the next breath, so I wouldn't put it off. What does it look like? It may be praying for somebody else. It may be praying for yourself and a problem that you're having you don't seem to be able to get rid of. It may be that you need to take that step into Jesus today and say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior from this time on. Lord means boss. I'm going to follow you. This is the time. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us this moment. Thank you for giving us this service. Thank you, Lord, for giving us these 6 points. I know I've been told that a good sermon has 3 points, but Lord, you gave me 6, so I brought all 6 of them. I pray that you'll help us to stay in that circle of prayer. Lord, I'm not guaranteed you're going to answer any whim that I have. I'm only guaranteed you're going to answer what's your will. So help me to pray your will. Help me to live your will. Help me to be in your will. Help me to be under your will. Help me to be surrounded by your will. And help me to be covered by the blood of Jesus. It's the only place I'm safe. And Lord, whenever I stumble and I fall and I do what's wrong, and I will, and I'm absolutely sure even today I already have, God, I ask you, forgive me. Pick me back up, brush me back off, cover me in your righteousness, and send me forward as your child to do your will. Father, I pray you'll sanctify this servant of yours and all of us that are in this room and make this a house of prayer for all nations. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all rise. Anything that's on your heart you want to pray about, don't be afraid to bring it forward.
Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, I'll speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Purge me from every sin. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Help me the lost to win. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. It is no longer mine. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. I would be wholly thine. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, I'll speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, I'll speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Purge me from every sin. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Help me the lost to win. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray. Yielded and still, seeking thy will, I'll speak to my heart today.
Song for the message? You know, we didn't plan that. That was God that planned that. Speak to my heart. He speaks to our heart. We speak back to him. The circle is complete. Isn't that awesome when you think about it? Guys, here's the best news of all. I saved the best for last. You don't have to worry about how you're going to do it, okay? Because a lot of times we get worried about how we're going to be able to complete this task, you know, of the Christian life. Guys, it's the Holy Spirit who lives in every believer that keeps us to the end. He will help us in everything we need. We don't have to be good enough. We don't have to get it all together. I don't know about the rest of you guys. I haven't been real good at getting it all together. I've been trying for a long time. I just don't seem to be able to get it all together. You know what I'm saying? It's like trying to clean up the shop, you know? I really want to. It's just really hard to have the time and the wherewithal, and something always breaks, and I got to fix that instead, and all that stuff. You know, the cool thing is the Holy Spirit lives in every believer. He'll give us what we need. He'll help us with this moment. All you got to do is live in the moment. Okay? Don't look back. And yeah, we press forward, but like, don't worry too much about what's out there. God will give you what you need each moment. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Do we have any birthdays?